independently owned and operated shops of Colorado Select, Holdy.
Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560 with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon, and what a wonderful afternoon it is here in the Mile High City and throughout Colorado. Scott's not here today. He and Red are on assignment off to Kansas. They've left me. My name is Kevin Flesh. I'm here in studio with a couple of guests. We have a jam-packed show today. And as everyone knows, we're on from 1 to 2, and I don't think that's going to be nearly enough time today.
I don't think so.
So we have Susan Renault in studio. She's the author of Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls. And you also have, you talk about moose and all kinds of other critters in the book, too.
Well, the subtitle is, and other great Colorado big game.
Absolutely. How are you, Susan?
I am fine. Good. I sound funny because a drunk driver broke my neck.
You don't sound funny at all.
Well, thank you. I have the Lauren Bacall in honor of Lauren.
There you go. It's sort of sexy woman sportsman of Colorado Saturday.
Smoky.
We also have Tina Francone in studio, a longtime friend of the show from Straightforward Shooting. How are you, Tina?
I'm well, Kevin. How are you? It's nice to see you again.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
Been a long time, yeah.
So, you know, I've been off doing different things this summer, and the fall comes around, kids go back to school, and I'm back in town for the weekends, so I get to do these sorts of gigs. And, of course, when Scott and Red are gone, I'm the host with the most, I guess. And we have a full lineup today. Well, we also have Jim Arnold calling in, hopefully mid-show, to talk about the waterfowl season that's coming up. But let's get into Susan. We met last winter, I guess, at the ISE show and then also the Colorado Spring Sports Shows. Both of those shows are great times to meet new folks and find out about interesting things that people do. And you had a booth there, and I think you were with another organization.
Mule Deer Foundation. I'm a life member of Mule Deer Foundation, so I was there actually selling my book to raise money for Mule Deer Foundation.
Yeah, so let's talk about how you became an author of this fantastic book.
Well, I fell in love with Jack Renault when he was attending Colorado State University, and this was back many, many years ago, and it was his idea to have a book written about hunting in Colorado. And I don't know, my voice level's bad. There it is. Ooh, that's much better.
We're having some technical difficulties, evidently.
Okay.
So
want me to keep going?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Anyway, so 32 years ago, when I was pregnant with my third son, I started writing Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls with my husband, and we collected all kinds of hunting stories and photographs, and in the process, we created the first ever book of its kind in the United States that records all the hunting that goes on in Colorado.
And this book is pretty fantastic. You gave us some copies of it a while ago, but I was able to get a copy this week and go through it knowing you were going to come in. And the stories that you tell in this book are so much fun to read.
They're so cool. And, you know, I've got to tell you right off the bat, this is not a records book.
Right.
This is a book about Colorado hunting history. And the people who get Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young, and Long Hunter animals, generally speaking, 90% of them are not trophy hunting.
Right.
They are, like you and me, going out to try to fill their tag, and they bump into the most amazing thing. And you broadcast on a Christian radio station, and I'm going to tell you, the experience people have when I interview them, 9 times out of 10, they say, when I took this animal, I got down on my hands and knees and I thanked God because it was the most miraculous thing that they had ever witnessed in their life.
And the book sort of chronicles all of the different stories that go on with just the incredible things that people have done to get these trophies and the circumstances that they fall into to... The other thing that's interesting is sort of after the kill, what happens with the racks and the mounts and sort of how these animals just sort of progress in history.
Well, and fascinating is that there is an animal right now somewhere in Colorado that is sitting in Uncle John's barn or Grandpa Max's barn that is breathtaking,
right,
that nobody has ever measured because Uncle Max and John didn't care about the antler, they cared about the meat.
Right.
And they would cut it off and throw it up in the rafters. And these are the animals that are featured in Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls, are these unbelievable animals that Colorado produces.
So how do you, the thing that I was struck by in reading the book is you've been doing this for many years.
32 years.
So how did
That's why I'm old and decrepit.
So how did you first sort of get involved in chronicling these stories? How did that come about?
Well, because of my husband.
Okay.
He is a wildlife biologist. He graduated from Colorado State University, and I was from a family in Colorado Springs of non-hunters and non-shooters. And I was told specifically that as a girl, I had to stay clean and that I couldn't go out and shoot. And so one of the first hot dates that I had with Jack Renaud was shooting and plinking.
Yeah.
And going up to Rocky Mountain National Park and looking at the elk and going hunting and going up into Wyoming and going out. And one of the coolest dates that I ever had with my husband before we married was picking up deer poo-poo. It was very cool.
Wow. I can't imagine he could beat that.
Deer poo-poo. It was very cool because poo-poo, you know, deer pellets indicate the health of the animal. And he was doing research for CSU through his undergrad to determine what the animals were eating so that they can improve the habitat. And I became fascinated with the ebb and flow of hunting because when you hunt, you truly get into the life cycle of an animal. And what's really cool for me is getting to be up close to these animals, and they bat their eyelashes at you. It's like,
right.
Oh, and then I go, oh dear, now I have to kill it.
Well, just having seen the introduction of your book, I know that you have killed animals.
Many.
Because you have this fantastic photograph of you holding your bighorn sheep.
My one and only, my dear.
But still, I've never shot one. So
never.
You've got to...
Yeah.
So not only do you have a real love for these animals in general, but
I also
have a love for hunting.
Well, on Monday, I'm breaking news on this show. Monday, I am meeting with the head of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here in Denver to talk about an issue that is very near and dear to me about the preservation of management of our national refuges. And one of the reasons that I do this is because of my fame with books. And I've written 22 books. 15 of them were published by the Boone and Crockett Club. I am the nation's first female editor of the Boone and Crockett Club.
Congratulations.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I am the first and the only. I guess it's because I was the worst. I don't know. Nobody liked me. But I did the all-time records book and 14 other books. And Colorado is number one. I don't know if you know this, Kevin. Colorado is number one in the world for the production of outstanding mule deer. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I know you also have a secret about a specific county within Colorado that is probably the premier county.
But I'm not going to tell you which one, because they have to read the book.
They do. I can tell you that I was surprised. I was surprised by the county in which the most or the largest animals come from.
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody in your listening audience the name of the county because they have to get the book. But the big clue is that if you're a skier, you can also get a big mule deer.
That's right. That's exactly correct. That
and
you can do a
joint. You would not think that the two mix. But they do.
Yes. So do. Back to the book, though. I tabbed some things, some stories that you have in here, and I can't find the one relating to the ghost buck.
That's a bull elk.
Oh, it's a bull elk.
No,
that's
it was, I went to high school with Goose Gossage, and we are super good friends. He is truly one of the most modest and delightfully honest and generous people, truly, I think, in baseball history. And I do tend to think that baseball players are just extremely down to earth, unlike some other sports figures that we've been hearing about.
So Goose led you to this bull elk,
yes,
this in Colorado Springs, and we're going to get to it after the break.
We've
got to take a break right now.
Okay.
We want our listeners to go to and hear about all of our spectacular...
You've got to hear about how I found a ghost town elk.
That's right.
Because of Goose Gossage.
Right after this.
Hi, sportsmen and women of Colorado. This is Steve Pitcock, owner of Hot Shots Automotive, located in Centennial, Colorado. I would like to offer you all a service special for your diesel truck, a complete diesel oil change, tire rotation, and 30-point safety inspection, all for $60. That's right, $60. That's a $125 value. And for you gas drivers, $25. That's a $60 value. Call us today at 303-617-1125. That's 303-617-1125. Or visit us at hotshotsautomotive.com.
Tired of going into a gun shop after hearing an ad only to find they have only a few guns and no ammo? Get into the zone, the Reloading Zone. From handguns to ARs, the Reloading Zone has it all. Need to get your concealed carry permit? Reloading Zone has a few openings this month. Call now, 303-431-GUNS. That's 303-431-4867. Check out their website, thereloadingzone.com. Get into the zone. The Reloading Zone.
For over 30 years, Academy Roofing has been serving Colorado with great customer service. Let me tell you why I am so happy that I chose Academy Roofing. They were efficient, on time, and their cleanup was perfect after my roof was completed. As an A-plus member with the Better Business Bureau, Academy Roofing brings the knowledge and experience you need in a roofing contractor. Call now, 303-360-0708, or visit academyroofinginc.com. At Academy Roofing, your roof is our reputation. Academy Roofing is an official registered company of HaystackHelp.com.
Lynn Lau Chevrolet is family-owned and operated for 37 years, and our commitment to the community is the best selection, highest trading values, and the best financing. How do we do it? Low overhead. And low overhead means low prices. Lynn Lau Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or LynnLauChevy.com.
Have you been involved in an auto accident, slip and fall, or any other personal injury? I'm Kevin Flesh with Flesh Law, and I've been protecting victims' rights for over 17 years. If you want aggressive representation that will get you the money you deserve, then call me at 303-884-1037 or visit my website at fleshlaw.com. That's Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. I will give you the personal service you deserve, starting with a free consultation. Call me, 303-884-1037 or visit me at fleshlaw.com.
The Dana Show, tonight at 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. This is Kevin Flesh, your host. This beautiful afternoon, we were just talking about the ghost...
I'm dancing.
You are dancing. That's good.
I love to dance.
You have a lot of energy.
I do. I was a cheerleader at Wasson High School. Can you tell?
So
go, Wasson!
We were talking about Ghost Town.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Really?
No, they turned it into an adult ed center.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. So your high school that you went to is completely gone.
Well, no, it's there, but it's the building is there, but it's no longer a high school. It's an adult ed center
Got
and
it.
An art center.
Nice. Well, so before the break, we were talking about this ghost town elk and sort of how, and this is an example of what you have done over the 32 years, because this particular elk, you sort of found, lost it, and found it again.
Oh, so, it is the coolest story. Yeah, okay, so let me quick in a nutshell tell you the story.
Okay.
So in 1980, when I started doing the research on the first edition of Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls, and for any of you women out there, when you're pregnant, you feel like you're as big as a barn. I was as big as a barn. And I waddled into this top typewriter shop on Tejon Street in downtown Colorado Springs, where I'm from. And this old lady, who was kind of grumpy, was sitting behind the desk of the typewriter shop. And above her was this unbelievable elk. I mean, we're talking drop dead jaw dropping elk.
Yeah.
And my husband and I both said, can we measure it for the Boone and Crockett Club? And she said, absolutely not. It belonged to my father. He hunted it somewhere outside of Colorado Springs. But it fell off the wall once, and I never heard the end of it from my father. And my dad is dead now, but I will never let it be measured. So it didn't go in the first edition. I lost track of it in the second edition.
So the first edition, you had found it, you had had this conversation, but and you had gotten some background relating to it.
Right.
But because she didn't want it measured, it wasn't something that you would have put in the
book. She didn't even want it mentioned.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so we ended up never putting it in the first edition, which came out in September of 1983. And then
you were in grade school at
that time. I was.
Yes.
I was, no. By then I had had my third son. But anyway, because my first edition was my two pregnancy book.
Okay.
I had two children while I was writing this book. Anyway, so we lost track of it. Second edition comes out September 11th, 2001.
All right. So a lot of time has gone by.
September 11th, 2001.
Yeah. There was a lot going on at that
time. Yeah, it was a little busy that day.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so that book has since gone out of print. Back when I started doing the book with my third son for the third edition, I called up Goose and I said, hey, do you have any idea where this elk went to that was in a typewriter shop on Tejon Street across from Dave Cook's Morning Goods store? And he said, oh, yeah, it's at the Ghost Town Museum in Colorado Springs. It's in the saloon. And so I went and I took photos. I asked the current owner of the museum if I could get it measured, and he said sure. So Todd Brickle, who lives in the Denver area north of Colorado Springs, was the person who came out and measured it. And I tried to get Goose to come and be the witness, and he was at spring training with the Yankees. So
nice. So it's
very
in
cool.
it's on page 250 of the book, and it's just an interesting story, and the pictures are neat to see what these antlers of these animals just throughout time. I mean, there's all kinds of different stories. And matter of fact, I pulled one, Sophie Golden.
Oh, I love that story. You are so picking my favorite stories.
So
I love that story.
The reason I thought Sophie's story was interesting is because, first of all, it's one of the few women that are in the book.
Very few women.
And she's got this great picture of the buck itself and her standing there in a dress and a rifle. You know, so
gorgeous picture.
Yeah, from 1911.
Yeah, and it had never been measured. This is an example of a great nephew who is an avid hunter in Colorado, wanted to recognize his Aunt Sophie, and so he got it measured. And I was honored enough to interview him. And he gave me this gorgeous photograph of his aunt, who never married. And she was so proud of the buck that she got that she carved it on her tombstone.
Yeah, and just the note she leaves after relating to her death and where the animal
where the buck is. Doesn't care about money, doesn't care about her house, doesn't care about furniture. She wants somebody to get the buck.
Yeah.
Because that buck, I talk about Sophie Golden, and by the way, I need to tell people.
Yeah.
All of these stories are in Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls.
Yes, it is. In the book that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so So when you get this book, I mean, it's a nice, first of all, it's a beautiful book. Secondarily, it's just one of those things, a historical perspective. That's the thing that was I thought was so interesting in reading the different stories is you get, I mean, there's stories from 1888 relating
1850.
To... 1850. And all the way up till today. I mean, you've got bucks in there from 2012.
Well, I have one, I have several from 2013.
Yeah.
And you have to remember that there are animals out in Colorado right now that haven't been harvested and haven't been entered. A lot of animals get harvested like in 2013, and they haven't been entered in the Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young, or Long Hunter. And I've got to say that the reason I only put the animals in that are officially entered in those organizations is that they have a fair chase statement. I do not allow any animal in this book that were harvested on a game farm. In fact, I am in adamant opposition to any game farm. That is not hunting. That is shooting. That is murdering. That is putting deer and elk into a pen like a fishbowl,
right,
and shooting them. That is not hunting. And don't ever call it hunting, because it's not. But the animals in this book are all wild. And what's really cool is that they're all by chance.
Yeah.
All by chance.
That's exactly right.
Except I would say there are two out of the 350 stories that I have in this book that I could honestly say the person was a trophy hunter. But the others were just like you and me.
Yep.
And just like you and me.
And that's a great thing. So let's talk about how people can get the book in the event that they want to get
it. Well, first off, I'm going to be at Jack's Morning Goods store in Fort Collins, which is truly one of my favorite stores.
They're great stores.
Well, and my husband, being a graduate of CSU and an avid hunter, where did he go shopping?
Probably Jack's.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so we went there when I was a kid, because I met my husband when I was 18. And Jack's, I'm going to be there in the afternoon. I'm going to be there at 5. They don't know the time yet. So you're the first to know
it. There you go.
5 o'clock on this Wednesday, which is what date? September.
October 1st.
October 1st. Oh, my gosh. October 1st.
Yeah.
So I will be at Jack's from 5 p.m. until there are no people. And I would love also for people to bring pictures. And I would like them to bring stories. And if they have historic photos, bring them to Jack's Morning Goods store. Because guess what we're doing now?
What are you doing now?
We're compiling stories for the 4th edition. But that won't be out for 15 years.
So you got...
No, I'm not kidding.
Really?
It takes 15 years to do this book.
But with that, if people can't make it to Jack's this week and they still want to contact you relating to getting the book, and also maybe just wanting to enter their prize in the book itself and have you do some additional research, how do they get a hold of you otherwise?
The best way is to call the publisher at 719-661-4037 or go to their website at www.coloradosbiggestbucksandbulls, or they can go to amazon.com. And this is interesting. I sell more books on Amazon.com practically than anywhere.
Yeah.
Jack's is right up there. Jack's sells a boatload, but Amazon.com also sells a lot too.
And you do, I was just going to say
do.
So you do.
Well, I like poo poo.
So you do also do a fair amount of speaking as well.
I do, and that's why this stupid voice of mine is a little annoying, but
smoky,
I am better.
I think. Right.
I'm better than when you saw me at International Sportsman's Expo.
Yeah.
Because I had surgery on my vocal cord 2 weeks ago, and I am better. But the book itself, Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls, is truly a testament to not only hunters, who are the number one reason why we have habitat and why we have wildlife, because we buy hunting licenses, and fishermen who buy fishing licenses. That's the number one reason why Colorado Parks and Wildlife exists.
That's exactly right. We are it. Yep,
we are conservation. Hunters are conservation. Every time we go to a store and we buy equipment, we get taxed. That money goes to purchase property. Hunters are the most astounding conservationists, and Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls is dedicated to none other than the hunters.
Yeah. The book is fantastic, and it's one of those things that every hunter should get. You know, it's a great gift opportunity. It's a great thing to have around the house on the coffee table, just to have people look at when they come over. And it's a great conversation starter. I mean, it's one of those things that, going through it, I was looking actually at the elk, the beginning of the typical and non-typical elk section, which talks about John Pulte's...
Plute.
Plute, is that how you say it?
It's Plute.
All right,
yeah.
Plute. I've seen this set of antlers at the Chamber of Commerce Visitor
that's
Center
still is
Crested
there.
Butte. And that's an amazing animal.
In fact, I took that photo at the Visitor Center that's in the book. John Plute was a railroad worker who was hired to collect animals to feed the railroad people. And so that particular animal is on display up in Crested Butte. If you get Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls, you'll find out where to go to hunt.
That's the other thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you want to know where to go to hunt.
You read this book.
You read this book. It's the only book. This is the only book ever written exclusively about big game hunting in Colorado.
Susan, it's been really a pleasure having you come
in. Well, it's always a pleasure to see you, Kevin. I love lawyers.
That's fantastic.
I do. Well, my father was a lawyer.
You're sticking around. We're going to have some more debate later on about women and the outdoors
and guns
and how important
you are. Guns are.
Exactly. Let's take another short break, and we'll come back and talk with Tina Francone and all of the fun things she's doing now.
Have you given up on finding the right camper that truly fits you and your family's needs? Well, there's hope. At Phoenix Pop-Up Campers, we have developed the most personalized, toughest, best-performing off-roading campers imaginable. Yes, if you can imagine it, we can build it. At Phoenix Pop-Up, we would welcome the opportunity to earn your trust and deliver you the best service in the industry. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive $1,000 off your new custom camper. Call 303-286-3921. That's 303-286-3921. Or visit our website at phoenixpopup.com.
Hi, I'm Trevin Stoltzfus with Outback Outdoors. I want to invite you to come check out the most advanced line of hunting bows and accessories at No Limits Archery today. They have everything you need to be successful on your hunt this season, including Hoyt's 2014 lineup, the Hoyt Carbon Spider, the most technologically advanced bow on the market. The Factor, Hoyt's premier 30-inch lightweight hunting bow, the Hoyt Charger, and the Hoyt Ignite, two loaded bows that won't break your wallet. Also, don't miss out on their full line of high-end Hoyt accessories, everything you need to outfit your bow. Stop in today to check out the latest deals at No Limits Archery. You won't be disappointed. That's No Limits Archery, 303-270-0185. That's 303-270-0185, and that's NoLimitArchery.com.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesch for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorsports.com.
Be safe, have fun, and qualify for your Colorado carry permit. Teach your kids how to safely handle a rifle, pistol, or shotgun. Hi, I'm Tina Francone, and my staff of NRA-certified instructors at Straightforward Shooting have qualified over 1,000 Coloradans for their Colorado carry permit and have taught hundreds of scouts how to shoot. Get your Sportsman of Colorado discount by calling Straightforward Shooting at 720-989-9662. That's 720-989-9662. Or visit my website, straightforwardshooting.com.
Angel and Eric, the Experience Pros, weekdays at 10 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. This is awesome music to start off our next segment. Well, luckily we have Jim Arnold on the phone, good friend of the show. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So where are you calling us from today?
I am actually back in Weld County now. I just got done with archery season yesterday for elk up on the ranch in the high country, and we had an awesome, awesome elk season. We harvested many large bulls in the 340 to 360 caliber.
That was, we talked to you, I think, last Saturday, and you, I think, had just shot a really big bull the day before.
Yeah.
Did you have any more luck this week?
We sure did. You know, we got another big muzzleloader bull. A friend of ours, client, real good client, friend of my family's, she killed her first bull with the muzzleloader, and it was a little over 350-inch bull, and we ended up getting two more really nice bulls archery, and we put a wrap on it yesterday, and I came home, and I got all my guys out here, the members of my duck club, and we're all getting the blinds brushed in and ready to go because the early goose season opens next weekend.
That's what I was going to, and I know that's what you want to talk about now. So you went from the high country back to summer. I mean, you came back to the
heat.
The front range, and it's like July. It's unbelievable. So how's that going to affect the opener next week if we don't get some cool weather coming in?
You know, this early season that they implement here in the state of Colorado on the front ranges, it's a resident bird season. We're not counting on migrator birds coming in. We're hunting the birds that are local residents here that have been born and raised here, and we target those birds. So it's very, very spotty. And if you're not right on the X, more than likely you're not going to be very successful. It's a season I don't typically guide a lot during that season because it's really hard to get on the X every day. It's not like you're hunting traffic or migrating birds.
Right, right.
But
and that's
the heat, on the other hand, the heat, it's going to affect it in a way where it's going to be a short hunt in the morning and a short hunt in the evening.
Okay. So, and that's where really what you guys do, and talk about your guide service, especially for this early season, why it's so important to have somebody like yourself with the expertise that you have to be successful.
Sure. You know, we got five full-time guides that work for us here at Waterfowl Haven Outfitters, and my guys they live and breathe waterfowl hunting, and they live up and down the front range, and they watch these birds from the minute they hatch till the minute they set their decoys to harvest these birds. So my guys are on them day in and day out. They're out every evening watching their patterns. They're out here today in 89 degree weather brushing duck blinds and getting goose blinds ready. We're actually going to go dig some goose pits tomorrow morning for the early season. We got some birds hitting a couple of our fields.
Nice.
You know, that's the advantage. You're going to be, if you book a hunt with us, you're going to be on the X.
And how do people get a hold of you, Jim?
You know, the best way to get a hold of us is to go through our website, waterfowlhavenoutfitters.com. And it'll give you our office numbers, all our other links, or you can follow us on Facebook, Waterfowl Haven Outfitters on Facebook, and see what the hunting conditions are like and how we're doing along the season. And when you're ready to book a hunt, you can call our office there right off the website, and you can book right online.
Nice. And you still got some spots available for this early season?
You know, I do have a couple spots for this early season, and I do have some spots coming up for duck season. Duck season opens on October 11th here in the Front Range, and the local duck population looks to be as good as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, we've had a lot of wet weather, which I think helps them throughout the summer season, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. We had a great hatch. I've seen more ducks this early season than ever before. I look for a banner start.
Fantastic. Anything else that our listeners should know about with the season coming up?
You know, if you don't have a spot to hunt and you're looking for a club that strictly specializes in waterfowl hunting in the Front Range, my duck club has a few spots left in it for this upcoming season. We got over 65 farms leased. You can look us up at waterfowlhavenhuntclub.com and check out what we have to offer. And we have a few spots left. If you're a duck or goose hunter, whether you're a novice or an experienced guy, we got a couple spots, and I think you'd really enjoy it.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks for the update, Jim, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. You know, the Front Range is amazing. We have more things going on this time of year. You've got waterfowl coming up. I was out on Cherry Creek Reservoir this morning fishing. Did a lot of fishing this morning, not a lot of catching. But it was a gorgeous morning. It was so fantastic to be out. And, you know, Susan talking about the bucks and bulls, and, you know, Jim's talking about quality animals that they're shooting up in the in the hills.
Colorado, and I'm not quite sure what they're doing out there, and I give a lot of credit to Colorado Parks and Wildlife, has phenomenal habitat.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
And it's very dry, but the animals are thriving. And I've heard from a lot of people that are bird hunters that they're just really successful.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be successful at hunting, both shooting waterfowl and other game, you have to be a good shot. Right, Tina?
Exactly.
What a segue. So, Tina, tell us about what you've been up to. First of all, it's been a while that you've been on the show. Let's talk about what you do on a regular basis other than coming into the studio to help me run a radio show on Saturdays.
Well, I have been busy.
Yeah. Tell us about what you've been busy at.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people told me when I first started doing this about 7 or 8 years ago, you're silly, such a silly girl you are. You can only have a class every 3 or 4 months, you know, and I'm here to tell you, we teach every Saturday and we do private instruction during the week for those folks who want a little bit extra. Maybe they're a little bit more nervous. Maybe they want to just have that private attention. They don't want their instruction in the classroom setting. So we've been busy with that. We are developing a new class, Shotgun Defense in the Home, and we are refining our Confident Carry class. And that's the most exciting one for me, because once you have your concealed carry permit, most people think, well, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to defend myself. I know how to shoot. Tina taught me how to shoot defensively and what I should be looking for. But really, you need to practice the skill of deploying your firearm from your concealment device, whatever that is, and presenting to a defensive shooting position. And it's not like it is on TV. I mean, everybody
right.
thinks, oh, I can just whip it out. And yeah, no, there's a little bit more involved in that.
Practice, practice, practice.
Absolutely. The thing that people don't like to hear, they say, well, you know, I'm a good shot. I know how to do that. Well, let's challenge that.
Yeah, let's get you into a stress situation and see how you do.
That's right.
So tell our listeners about your certifications and how you kind of got to this point of helping people with all of their shooting needs.
Well, I didn't start out a shooter. My father had a rifle in the home for self-defense, and, you know, he told us kids, don't shoot, you know, don't touch it, you know. But I didn't learn how to shoot from my dad. In fact, I never saw him really shoot it or clean it or do anything else with it. But I learned how to shoot because I had boyfriends who were military or law enforcement, and they taught me how to shoot.
Right.
But I didn't really get into formal instruction until our son was in Cub Scouts, and they needed somebody to run the shooting range for day camp. And if you know anything about scouts, you know that on a daily basis, you run 200-300 kids through each station a day.
Yep.
So I figured if I could teach 8-year-old boys how to shoot, I could teach grown-ups how to shoot.
Yes. And especially women. I mean, that's one of the things that you're really good at, is helping women get more comfortable with weapons and teach them how to be dead eyes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that I think it's not a difference between how men and women learn. I think it's just a question of understanding that women are a little bit more nervous about shooting than men are, because most people get their knowledge of firearms from TV or movies. And so, you know, our staff at Straightforward Shooting, we really do focus on paying personal attention to what you need and working with you until you feel comfortable, and most importantly, making sure that you're safe when you're handling that firearm.
Right, right. So what are the things that you guys are doing that you're really excited about right now?
Well, I am kind of excited. I'm awaiting my certification from the NRA. I just finished the training counselor development workshop. So what that means is once my certification comes through, I'll be certified to teach on an instructor level. So all of you know, Sportsman of Colorado listeners out there who are thinking about being an instructor, we'll be offering those courses soon. And so that's probably the biggest news lately.
So that's a certification so that you're then certifying folks to teach people.
Correct.
That's
correct.
Fantastic.
Well, and you know, and I'll tell you, it's not everybody makes it. Not everybody is, in my opinion, qualified to instruct. You know, just because you're a good shot doesn't mean you're a good teacher.
Right.
And that's what this instructor course is designed to do. It's not designed to teach you how to teach. It's always designed to make sure you have the proper attitude when you're teaching.
That's got to be, you know, I've got three daughters that are getting older every year, and I continue to try to teach them things. And I've realized through that process that I'm not a very good teacher. And so it's folks like yourself that really can help people like me and our listeners that, you know, you realize you've got the daughter or the wife or someone in your family that seems to have the interest and the drive to do those things. That's where that you can turn them over to you, to Straightforward Shooting, to give them the opportunity to really get good instruction and really understand what they're doing so that they feel comfortable in what they're doing.
Absolutely. And you just, know, we enjoy teaching, and it's taken me a long time to develop instructors who I think share that vision. We're teachers, and people tell me all the time, they say, oh my God, you have the greatest job in the world. You shoot all the time. And really, that's not true. If I'm shooting, I'm not teaching. And yeah. So teaching is that, you know, is what we do. I think is what we do best because we love it. And the best day in the world is to watch somebody who couldn't even pick up the gun, couldn't touch it. They were afraid of it. You know, can you take this out of the box for me? No, you know, you got to do it yourself. But to take that person and at the end of the day, watch them handle that firearm confidently, you know, with self-assurance. And boy, you know, when they hit that bullseye and they turn around and that smile, man, you can't pay me
right.
for that. That's the best day ever.
And that's a great, we got to take a break right now, but that's a great topic. When we come back, let's talk the three of us about not only women sort of hunting or shooting, but also kids, sort of what you're doing with kids and sort of all the things that have gone on in the press recently relating to that awful incident in Arizona after we get back.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
Protect your valuables and firearms from fire or break-ins. This is Red Merrill for High Plains Safe Sales. Purchasing a gun safe is the most responsible decision a gun owner will ever make. Canon safes offer the best warranty in the industry. High Plains Safe Sales offers a variety of safes for your home. Call High Plains Safe Sales at 970-532-3785. That's 970-532-3785. Or visit their website at highplainssafe.com. High Plains Safe Sales is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado. Nothing protects like a cannon.
Lynn Lau Chevrolet is family-owned and operated for 37 years, and our commitment to the community is the best selection, highest trading values, and the best financing. How do we do it? Low overhead. And low overhead means low prices. Lynn Lau Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or LynnLauChevy.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you're lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser Rifles, Sitka Gear, and Night Force Optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
Have you been involved in an auto accident, slip and fall, or any other personal injury? I'm Kevin Flesh with Flesh Law, and I've been protecting victims' rights for over 17 years. If you want aggressive representation that will get you the money you deserve, then call me at 303-884-1037 or visit my website at fleshlaw.com. That's Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. I will give you the personal service you deserve, starting with a free consultation. Call me, 303-884-1037 or visit me at fleshlaw.com.
The Colorado Conservatives Wake Up Call. Wake up with Randy Corcoran. 5 to 8 weekday mornings on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. We've got people dancing in the studio. So, back from the break, we were talking just before the break about kids and shooting and sort of the serious topic of what happened in Arizona. And sort of, Tina, your perspective on what an awful situation it was for the 9-year-old and the automatic weapon that we're talking about, but also the instructor and sort of the mistakes that the instructor made. So let's talk about that briefly. And then the three of us, let's have a conversation about kids and women and just everything relating to that. And of course, the last 12 minutes we have, but let's start
2 seconds or less.
Let's discuss that from your perspective as women being in this sort of industry.
Well, I get parents ask me all the time, how young is too young? And when should I teach my kid how to shoot? And bottom line is that, most people say, well, I don't have a gun in my house. I'm never going to have a gun in my house. I don't need to teach my kid about guns. And I disagree with that because really the truth of it is about 50% of the households in the United States have a firearm in them. So even though you might not have a firearm in your home, Johnny's dad
right.
probably does.
Right.
And you need to tell your kids minimum, leave it alone. Walk away from it. Tell somebody. Leave it where it is.
Or they need to understand the different types of actions and how to be safe with the weapon if they encounter one.
Absolutely.
The safest person with a gun is someone who owns a gun. And the safest person in our community and the best person to have in our community is a law-abiding citizen who owns a gun. And we would not have had the tragedy in Aurora, which is right outside your window.
Right.
If we had had somebody with a concealed carry who was allowed to have been in that movie theater and gunned that
right.
mentally ill young man down. And
it certainly would have changed the outcome.
It would have. And what she does is so important because she gets people into the learning mode of what it means to handle a gun correctly.
Yeah, and it's, again, we're coming back to attitude. What's your attitude about carrying a firearm? What's your, whether it's you're carrying it for self-defense or whether you're shooting for sport. And I think we touched on it earlier, shooting sports is the fastest growing sport in the United States and certainly within women. I mean, that's huge. It's expanding rapidly. And if we don't teach our ladies how to shoot and how to do it safely, regardless of whether or not they go on to choose shooting as a sport or to carry for self-defense, their kids won't learn how to do that. And the attitude about, firearms as a tool as opposed to something to be afraid of just perpetuates.
And I think that's a great point, that just getting everyone acclimated to a weapon and being comfortable around them would change the debate unbelievably.
Oh yeah,
it's a tool. It's a tool, not a toy.
Right.
And so if you treat it as a tool, just like you treat anything else, your car, your vacuum cleaner, the dishwasher, a chainsaw, they're all tools.
Right.
In and of themselves, they're not deadly. Right. And certainly they're not deadly if you know how to use them.
Well, and a gun, as far as I know, has never jumped out of the holster and shot somebody.
Right.
It is a human. And in the case of all of these tragic shootings that we've had around the country, including in Aurora, right in Denver, it's been a mentally ill young man
Right.
And that's the key. And right. then this was not someone, an illegal person is not going to follow the law and carry a legal firearm. They're going to do something illegal and they're going to do something bad. But it's up to us to have trainers like this who will take care of the problem and teach people how to properly carry. I'm a classic example. My mother would not let me touch a gun. She was raised in Chicago and moved to Colorado Springs when I was six. I never got to shoot a gun until I met Jack Renault.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly that. Same thing with you, Tina. You grew up in a household that didn't have guns in it, and you eventually... Now, I think there's probably some parenting in there that forced you into those relationships with the men in your life after that caused you to be around guns in a positive way. Something was going on there. But it's exactly that.
Now that's an intriguing comment. What does that mean,
well,
Kevin?
Well, it means a lot of things. I mean, I think it's one of those things where in our society today, it really does start at home with regard to guns and gun safety. And the fact that you can, and you do it, Tina, you put children and women and men, but these other people in situations that they're, number one, comfortable, and number two, they learn about it so that they can take that and use it however they want to, and they have a good time. I mean, I see it with my own kids, that BB guns, I mean, all of the different things. I had one daughter out last weekend shooting trap. She had a blast.
I love
trap. Right. So, I mean, it's one of those things where people, once they get past sort of the media's perspective of that fear and they realize, hey, this is really fun, there is some safety aspects of it, but there's some real challenges that I like about it.
Sure.
And the feeling of empowerment. I mean, that's what our sports need.
And it is a discipline. I mean, you learn about safety and you learn how to be safe with your firearm and you learn that you don't multitask when you're shooting. You know, you're shooting or you're loading and you don't do both. You know, you can't do anything else while you're doing that.
Well, and I think the problem in Arizona with that 9-year-old is that from the video that I saw, it was obvious that the instructor was haunting her leaning over near the barrel and giving her a weapon that she was to shoot as a target that was much too heavy for her. And I feel so sorry for the 9-year-old because for the rest of her life, she's going to have that horrible vision of killing somebody in her mind. I don't know if she'll ever go back to shooting. Have we ever heard?
I have no idea. Yeah. But I think that particular situation is a great point for all of us that are involved in the shooting sports to take a moment to really look at that and say, how can we use that to everyone's benefit to remind everybody of the importance of safety, the importance of doing things appropriately. I mean, certainly in that situation, a 9-year-old shouldn't have had that weapon, right?
Well, repeat how we can get a hold of her for learning how to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
We will at the end.
Okay.
But, you know, the NRA has done a great job of, you know, putting out training materials and putting forth training programs to instruct the instructors. And they're pretty stringent on it, and they're pretty obvious about it. But, you know, and I have some political disagreements with the NRA, but I can't fault them on their training programs.
Right.
And, you know, once trainers are, you know, once instructors are instructing, and, you know, and I would agree with you, Susan, that guy was kind of, you know, shadowing her, and, you know, maybe she should have, you know, that gun looked too big for her, and so proper fit is important, especially when it comes to children.
So important.
You know, because that was just a little bitty girl shooting a big man gun.
Right.
And, you know, it's not to say that children can't shoot, because they can. They need the proper equipment. They need the proper training in order to do that.
And that's where your training, because we're running out of time.
I know. We really need a couple hours.
Yeah, we do.
How do people get a hold of you, Tina?
Well, I am Tina Francon, and we do. I am the owner and senior firearms instructor for Straightforward Shooting. You can call my cell phone directly, 720-989-9662, or you can visit the website. It's pretty easy, www.straightforwardshooting.com.
All right, so before we leave today, though, you've got something else that's going on in your life as well.
I do, because I don't have anything else to do in my life.
So tell us about, you're running for RTD director?
I am. I am a candidate for RTD director. I will be on the ballot in November, so please, 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 When you vote, don't just stop at governor.
Yes.
Don't check off the box for governor. Go to the end. It's RTD, Tina Francone, director for District N.
And that's really important because here at Sportsman of Colorado, we really want to be able to make sure the individuals that are the same sort of thinking as we are about all of these different topics then get into public service. And that's fantastic what you're doing relating to that. So the RTD director, and it's District N.
Right.
What does RTD stand for?
Uh-huh. Regional Transportation District.
Oh, okay.
And why are you interested in being on that board?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as a business owner, as a wife, as a mother, public transportation is important to me. And a lot of people don't know much about RTD, and they don't think about it until they start seeing the light rail going up.
Oh, yeah.
So, but a lot of people don't know that RTD manages the fourth largest budget in the state of Colorado. And this year was about $490 million. That's a large budget, and that's a lot of your taxpayer dollars. And I'd like to see some more fiscal responsibility come into RTD. I'd like to be it a little more, see it a little more transparent. You know, again, because people don't know what RTD does.
Right.
And I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people have some really good ideas about how public transportation should work. And I think we should take that back to the board.
Nice. Well, that's great. Well, good luck in your efforts there. And it's almost 2 o'clock. We're almost out of here. Thanks for listening today. This has been Sportsman of Colorado. Remember, you can get Colorado's biggest bucks and bulls at Jack's on Wednesday.
And elsewhere.
And on Wednesday after 5 o'clock.
Yes, we'll talk big bucks and bulls.
There you go. Have a good week out there. Be safe and enjoy the beautiful weather. Thank you.
And opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the